May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It's hard for me to stand here this morning and know what to say. It's hard to know what kind of response could possibly be adequate or appropriate or helpful in the light of the tragedy that I woke up to hearing about this morning in Vancouver. Really, really terrible news, a shattered community, shattered families. We hold them in our hearts. We imagine their depths of pain. We know that many of these folks are in deep, deep grief and disbelief. So our hearts go to them and our solidarity goes to them. And as we heard Reverend Laurel say this morning, we are a resurrection people. We are an Easter people. And we know that we need to look for where we can find hope, where we can find possible redemption and meaning in the face of such unspeakable, tragic, inexplicable events. So we'll hold in our hearts today through the service our brothers and sisters and family in the Vancouver area, in the Filipino community. I hope that you're enjoying this gorgeous spring weather like I am. What an incredible gift. Are you hearing the birds where you live? Smelling the fragrance of the cherries and the other early blossoms that are so abundant this year? Are you seeing new shoots bursting up from the soil towards the warmth of the sun? Indeed, there are countless signs of new life all around us. Life continues to spring forth everywhere. If we are paying attention, we'll see that. Resurrection is baked into the very essence of the universe. So why should it be any different for us? Yesterday, we had a plant sale here, another sign of hope that gardens will soon be flourishing, summer produce will be in abundance in our gardens, on our patios, and on our farms. To me, it's very fitting that our parish has created this new tradition of a spring plant sale that just happens to come along every year during the season of resurrection. For me, no matter how many times I've done it, and I've done it many, many times, I still find it amazing and a bit surprising that the dry little seeds that seem to be lifeless little packages of nutrients and genetic material can go in just a few days from a hard shell and a lifeless little orb and become a host of intricate plants that provide us with sustenance, beauty, and even companionship. Yes, there's tremendous potential in a seed. But until conditions are right, for example, the right levels of moisture, warmth, oxygen, these seeds remain as small, dry, hard, and lifeless little orbs. They can stay that way for many, many years, sometimes even for centuries, and often never having the chance at all to express their incredible potential. In today's gospel reading, we hear John's account of the disciples in hiding behind a locked door out of fear of the authorities, still in shock over the murder of their friend and teacher. They are racked with grief and they are afraid. So they're hidden away, dormant, like seeds that cannot sprout because they lack the basic conditions that will bring them to life. Let's just hear a bit of that passage again. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The first thing that Jesus says when he stands among the disciples is, "Peace be with you." He understood the depth of the disciples' anguish, and so he begins with the soothing words, "Peace be with you, Shalom." This is like light rain and warmth of the sun on dry, dormant seeds. Jesus begins with a pastoral act of ministering to the trauma and the fear that is gripping the disciples and keeping them from life. But while words can help, they often fall short of giving us the deep assurance and comfort that we need during a time of profound trauma and anguish. So, after showing them his hands and side, Jesus breathes on the disciples. It's a physical sign, a deeply intimate act, filled with many layers of meaning to this Jewish community of followers. As he breathes on them, he says the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Hebrew, the word for spirit, nefesh, is derived directly from the word for breath, vayinafesh. The two words, spirit and breath, are closely associated with each other. And so the combined act of breathing on the disciples and saying the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit," becomes one unified gesture that makes perfect sense. Scholars of Hebrew offer yet a deeper meaning of this connection between breath and spirit. Pastor Sandra Thurman observes, "There was a moment when Moses had the nerve to ask God what his name is." Do you remember that story? God was gracious enough to answer, and the name he gave is recorded in the original Hebrew as YHWH. Over time, we've arbitrarily added in an A and an E to get Yahweh, presumably because we have a preference for vowels. But scholars and rabbis have noted that the letters YHWH represent breathing sounds or aspirated consonants. When pronounced without the added vowels, it actually sounds like breathing. Yahweh. Yahweh. To me, the implications of this are quite astonishing. A baby's first cry, their first breath, speaks the name of God, as does our final breath on our deathbed. And each one of the 500,000 breaths that we all take in our whole lives between birth and death are proclaiming the name of God. Yahweh. Yahweh. In the second Genesis creation story, the first human, Adama, earthly one, is formed from clay and is breathed into being by the divine source of all life. Here again, breath is synonymous with spirit and with being. It is both life's source and life's sustenance. When Jesus breathes on the disciples, he is in fact inviting them to share in the new life of the resurrection. He has shown him the scars on his hands and side to clearly demonstrate that he has moved through and beyond the door of death, and now they too are invited to do the same, to leave the tomb of their fears, their despair, and their guilt, to emerge into the fullness of life, renewed by God's presence in the Spirit. Like small, hard, dried seeds lying in wait, they are finally given the conditions they need to grow forth into children of God, fully alive and ready to nurture and provide sustenance to others. Psalm 104 uses this image of the breath of God to remind us that all creatures, not just humans, are given life and are sustained by the Creator. It reads, "All creatures depend on you to feed them throughout the year. You provide the food they eat. With generous hand, you satisfy their hunger. You turn your face away and they suffer. You stop their breath. They die and return to dust. You give breath. Fresh life begins. You keep renewing the world." There's so much to love for me about this passage. And I'm particularly drawn to the last two lines. "You give breath and fresh life begins. You keep renewing the world." God's breath that brought forth creation in the beginning continues to pour forth into the universe, making new life possible, making renewal and resurrection a central fact of our existence and a condition of all life here on this planet and beyond. God's nefesh ties us intimately to all of creation. All life breathes. We also heard that in the psalm today, that all that breathes gives glory to God. If we listen very deeply, we can hear the tremendous roar of billions of life forms inhaling and exhaling in a wondrous harmony throughout the planet. Dolphins and chipmunks, tigers and bears, pygmy shrews and elephants, bacteria and fungi, sword ferns and cedars, tomato and zucchini plants, algae and plankton, all of it breathing. All creatures, each in their own way, chanting the name of Yahweh with every breath. An incessant prayer, the heartbeat of the divine. And we too join in this cosmic symphony with every time we breathe. And of course, like any great symphony, the overall beauty of the music depends on the harmonic and balanced integration of all of the instruments and all of the parts. Hearing just the tuba or just the violin would leave much to be desired. By design, all creation is woven together in a tapestry of mutuality. With every inhalation that we take, we have the trees, the grasslands, the oceans, and all green things to thank for their gift of oxygen. And with every exhalation that we make, we nurture them in return with our gift of carbon dioxide. We are caught up together in a great conspiracy, a great breathing together conspiracy that makes life possible on the planet. Self-sufficient humanity is an oxymoron, an impossibility. And such a notion is certainly contrary to our faith tradition that teaches us that all life, not just human life, is sustained by the breath of God, that all life is loved and valued by the Creator. The ancient Sabbath and Jubilee tradition reminds us of this truth in a somewhat more practical way. We're told that for life to be maintained, we humans must not overstep our boundaries by exploiting each other or the natural world. From Exodus we hear, "For 6 days you shall do your work, but stop on the seventh day, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your slave girl may have a breathing space, and the stranger too." And this is further extended to the land, which is given rest on every seventh year, so that it too may breathe again, be restored and renewed. And on every 49th year, 7 times 7, the Jubilee year, all debts are to be forgiven and all land returned to former owners so that justice and fairness can be restored. In this vision, when there's justice in the human community, land and creatures too can be protected and renewed. It's a beautiful vision, and surely one that people of faith, of all faiths, and humanity as a whole are called to support. We're called at this time of our tenure on this fragile planet to heed the words of Deuteronomy, choose life, that we and our descendants may live. A Jubilee Economics would tell us that the fullness of life comes when we learn to be satisfied with enough, and that we provide the space and the breathing room for our fellow humans and our fellow creatures to thrive as well. Such a scenario would be, of course, a major transformation of how the world we know today has come to function. It would be a bold emerging from the tomb of greed, violence, and exploitation into the life of shalom that Jesus promised his disciples when he breathed upon them. It would be, today as always, a daring choice for resurrection and for new life that is offered to us again and again and again. As Psalm 104 declared, "You keep renewing the world." We, God's people gathered here and throughout the world, can be partners with the divine in the ongoing, everyday renewal of this wonderful, fragile life that we've been given. This is our invitation that we mark on Earth Day, which happened this past week, and really every day. We're continually invited to both our own personal transformation to fullness of life and to the transformation of the world, always moving from death and dormancy towards the fullness of life. In today's gospel, we're not told exactly what happened after Jesus left the disciples, but we're given a bit of a glimpse of it when we consider the scenario that we heard in today's reading from Acts. Clearly, the disciples did break their dormancy, got out of the locked room, and out into the world, where they continued the teaching and the ministry that they were called into by Jesus. So much so that they were brought before the council of high priests who were living in fear of reprisals from the Roman Empire because of all the attention and the upheaval that the disciples were causing through their teaching and healing and feeding and gathering of people. Despite these threats and accusations, the disciples continued their ministry, grounded in the very breath of God and animated by the Holy Spirit. It was not an easy path, as their ministries of proclaiming the liberating news of the kingdom continued to put them in conflict with the powers of the empire, even to imprisonment or death. But thanks to them, here we are today, continuing in this resurrection story. Graced with the gift of new life and given all that we need to grow forth from our own hard shells to share this good news with the world in the many ways that each of us can. Indeed, I think we are the ones who now provide the greeting of peace to each other, who provide the affirmation, who provide the warmth, the oxygen, and the moisture so that we can continue to leave this place and go forth to our homes, to our workplaces, to the community, where we're involved in different work outside of here, and continue to bring forth the values of the kingdom of God. Every day, every action we take can be a sign of resurrection and a deep commitment to the renewal of life. 1 week ago today, on Easter Sunday, the church and the world lost a great disciple and a great champion of life, Pope Francis. I'd like to close this reflection with an excerpt from his prayer for the earth, from the document that he authored called Laudato Si. So please pray with me. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey toward your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggles for justice, love, and peace. Amen.